Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome along to the Wise Men Say podcast. We have another defeat to talk about tonight. Oh, of course we do. Phil Parkinson's had 7 league games and he's lost 4 of them. Sunderland only lost 5 games in the entirety of the league campaign last year, of course. So myself and Gareth are joined by Richard
Easterbrook. I want an opening that can like celebrate that, that fact.
It truly is the Banter era now. Yeah. It's upon us.
Banter era redux. That's where it is.
Yeah, this time it's not funny.
It's certainly not funny. What isn't funny in particular is the manager commenting after the game saying anybody who watched that game would appreciate the players gave the role. He was talking about how we defended exceptionally well against a very difficult side who put the ball in the box and put you under pressure, speaking almost like we're playing somebody decent and not somebody like Gillingham. And of course, just to rub it all in, saying that we would have taken a point all day. Thoughts, Richard Easterbrook?
I think it comes to something when we get Gillingham fans tweeting us to say, you know, you can't be swallowing that, can you? You know, you can't be putting up with that every week from Parkinson, and kind of them feeling pity for us rather than kind of treating it as their cup final. They just treat it as like a routine win for them, and that's where we are. And I think that says it all, really.
Have you ever lost faith in the manager this quickly, as Sunderland manager?
No, I don't think I have, no. No, we were just saying this the other day, like how quickly has a fan base kind of lost support straight away, almost unanimously as well. I'm seeing very, very little support for
haven't fans. Spoken to one person who thinks he should stay on his job.
The only reason
not
to,
one.
The only reason to not sack him is
can't afford to.
Well, no, like from a logically, like it's mad to try and like to sack somebody. Like on paper, someone would go, come on. But it's not about that. It's about everything that's gone before, everything that was supposed to happen after the appointment, and you know what the purpose of the appointment was in terms of achieving promotion. Automatic promotion certainly was on the agenda, and that is, I would argue, barring one of the best seasons we'll ever have in our history, at any level, impossible. I mean, we're not going to get automatically promoted now, are we? It's possible in terms of...
Yeah. I mean, we're playoffs, still in touch with the playoffs.
Yeah, in playoffs we're in touch. But sneaking into the playoffs at the end of the season was not... That's
not going to happen.
It's a step backwards from where we were last season.
He can't be allowed to dictate this narrative that he's tried to dictate already, and it's very, very much like what David Moyes tried to do when David Moyes was coming out early and making the whole world listen to him and feel pity for him, that he was in a difficult position because the squad of players he was working with wasn't good enough, when in fact that, you know, we discussed this the other week, that same squad of players, or mainly the same squad of players, finished very, very strongly under Sam Allardyce the season before. Jack Ross lost 5 league games all season. He's lost 3 in 7. A 4-7, did we say? 4-7.
Yeah, 4-7.
So the drop-off shouldn't be that vast, and he's trying to put these little pointers in now to justify him staying in a job, so that when he brings in all these big bruises and we get slightly better in the second half of the season and finish 10th or something, he can say, well, you know, the rot was set in, I've had a lot to do, I've had my transfer window now. He can't be allowed to do it.
But even if he does that, then the remit was not that. So he can't. The remit was do better than Jack Ross did last season.
But then it'll be, in hindsight, we overachieved. That's what he's trying to make it. That's what
we need
saying.
We need to nip this, and everyone will have their opinions, but we need to nip this thing in the bud about, right, the players at the moment are, you know, fully accountable as well, and they've been really poor. But, you know, the fact is, everyone was saying at the start of the season, there's a few of the obviously like D3, D4 podcasts and stuff were like saying, oh, well, maybe it's the players. I was like, yeah, but like you said at the start of the season, you thought we finished top two. And,
the bookies are saying that. They don't just use fan reaction as a data, they use actual data points. Yeah. And, you know, they're not silly.
Everyone was saying Sunderland and Portsmouth will finish top two. On paper, people have ideas about how a season should pan out. There's, you know, us being like fourth or fifth, like, and not quite kicking on, and then there's what's happening at the moment. The group of players who Jack Ross had, you can't just change the manager and then go, oh, well, it turns out it's the players who actually are the problem. It's like, well, they're not, like, there's enough there in that group to be in the playoffs at the moment, to be sitting in the playoffs, and like, nobody's going to convince me like otherwise that, or no, actually no, the players are all crap all of a sudden. No, that's not the case, and they didn't overachieve last season, and we're going back over the same points all over again. But it is like, we needed a little tweak, which we failed to do in the transfer market.
And that's down to the people who've recruited them, because you look at the way your side play football, and then you surely, like in any interview process, say to the manager, what would you do with this group of players? How would you do it? And if somebody then turns around and says, well, they don't play like I want to play at all, so I'm going to put the ball in the air from back to front, and I'm probably going to struggle until January, where I'm going to have to bring some of my own players in who are bigger and who can adapt to it, then he wouldn't have been given the job. So I would like to know how he answered that question, but my money would be on that he didn't get asked that question.
I know you can't equate, you know, football to real business life, but in any situation that, you know, if you've ever taken a job and you know that it's not right for you, and within a couple of weeks you think, oh, I'm going to move on from this, or they take the decision for you and move you on, that happens in business, that happens all the time in any kind of regular employment. I mean, football, it seems that the ego seems to dictate that the board will never make that decision that actually this is a bad idea, and just abort that kind of...
Watford have just done it.
Yeah, but they give them longer than a month. And I don't think it was that obvious when Sanchez Flores came back. It wasn't that obvious straight away that it was going to be an absolute disaster. No. And that's what it is. And I don't want to kind of over-egg it. It has been an absolute disaster.
Oh, it's been an absolute disgrace the last... Since Phil Parkinson came in, aside from the Tranmere game, the rest of it has been disgusting. And there's, you know, I'd love it, you know, if Stuart Donald was sitting over there and you asked him the question, are we in a better position to get promoted now than we were under Jack Ross? He couldn't say yes.
I don't think he would, to be fair.
I know, but you know, the point of the matter is, the reason that they decided to dismiss Jack Ross was because they didn't think, you know, he was going to achieve the goal this season of promotion.
It'd be the fans' fault. You know that, don't you?
Well,
that's how it's going to be written. It's going to be that the fans wanted Jack Ross out of it.
Keep on pointing this out to people. There's more than two managers in the world. It's not only... nobody. There's 92 teams in the Football League and there's two managers, and the rest 91. Of them... Yeah. And the rest of them, you know, don't have managers. Well, technically, Bury don't have a manager either, I guess.
That's
true. But, you know, the rest of them don't have managers, and they're all under caretaker charge, and there's these two people who can only take jobs. No, there's lots of managers. I listed some on Twitter. Didn't realise Pearson had taken the Watford job, actually, which is a bit of a strange one. Good job for him, like, getting back in there at that level. But, you know, the options are there. You know, Daniel Stendel got the job at Hearts at the weekend. He was an option, and he remained an option. I mean, you saw people saying, oh, well, you know, maybe we could have gone for him. It's like, well, before it was, oh, well, he might be too, like, upset because he's just been sacked or something like that.
Well, Barnsley have just come out today and said that he was talking to another championship club earlier in the season. and he was going to take his coaching team with him as well. So that was how it kind of started the ball rolling on that. But yeah, managers move between jobs fairly fluidly. I don't think they'll sit there crying about it. I know I've seen the Athletic interview with Jack Ross, but had he got a call 2 days after losing the Sunderland job, I don't think he would have gone, actually, I need some time to sit on this. He'd have jumped straight in
if it was the right opportunity.
Exactly.
So and people have got to see the Sunderland job as a right opportunity, and stop looking at it as though it's a problem.
It's the greatest job outside the Premier League. It's got to be seen as the potentially biggest job outside the Premier League.
I wouldn't go as far as say the greatest, but it's one of the, you'd argue it was one of the plum jobs that you could land.
I think considering where we are and considering the kind of the potential and the opportunity and the actual ease with which you could kind of move through the gears and get them into a respectable position. I don't understand how Phil Parkinson finds it so difficult.
I just think that, we talked about Jack Ross as well, and he's a novice manager, essentially, coming from St Mirren to Sunderland. He's managed like Alloa before that as well. They haven't even got a grass pitch, And then he's coming to Sunderland, and the job he did last year now looks phenomenal. What he did. And this season it doesn't look too bad either, like up to the point where he was sacked, based on what we've seen since. But how can a novice manager at this level go on to do what he did, and somebody who's supposed to be experienced at taking teams out of this division, which again is massively debatable, or should knows the lower divisions, whatever, how can he be found so out of his depth when the main driving force from being employed was that he understands how to get results in this division?
Because he's came here off the back of a win record of 19% or something over two seasons.
He's
treating us like we're this Bolton team has been struggling for 2 years, when he's viewing a defeat against Gillingham and trying to mislead us all and tell people that what they are seeing isn't correct, and that in fact we played all right and the players gave their all.
This is the second time we've gone to Gillingham, and he said we've had a go at them and all this. It's Gillingham. No disrespect, but and I've said this till I'm blue in the face, you need to win 27 games at least to get promoted from this division. So you've got to beat Gillingham twice. And it's not about little old Gillingham. You've got to beat Gillingham twice. You've got to beat these teams twice.
We beat them 4-1 down there last year.
Yeah, and we beat them 4-2 up here. And they had, one of the better strikers in the division, over that period. But you have to win these games. You have to win them. You haven't got a choice. If you want to get promoted, and the draws killed us last year. Draws killed us, and then we've got a manager saying that he would have taken the point all day at Gillingham. Last year, a draw at Gillingham would not have been an acceptable return.
Yeah, and Gary would not accept it. Gary Rell said in his column for the Sunderland Echo today that he would have taken a win despite the result, despite the performance. I think a lot of fans kind of do think that way. I'm on the other side of it, thinking that performance is also important. There was nothing on Saturday. There was absolutely nothing. There was
not one positive.
No,
Charlie Wyke, if you're going to push it, to be fair to him,
he put himself
looked a threat when he come on. But aside from that, not one single positive. We saw this was coming when we looked at the team sheet.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't 3-5-2, it was 5 at the back. And he's dropped Denver Hume, who's been one of our most attacking outlets, and he's put Dubok in, which told you straight away, well, these are defenders, and they barely crossed the halfway line, and the ball, and then when they did have the ball, they just lumped it up towards Gregor McNulty's head. Relatively small strikers.
Grigg will get stick again, but it's like,
you can't blame any of the forwards. You can't blame any of the forwards when they're just launching the ball up towards your head. Absolutely not.
First 10 minutes, I had absolutely no idea of what we were trying to achieve from the match. I didn't even think there'd been a team talk, or had this faded 10 days of training on the training ground.
I'd love to know what the midfielders do in training.
What have the squad been doing in training?
He probably lets the midfielders go and sit and watch. Why he just puts like a massive some cones in the middle of the park and gets his defenders to launch a ball up to the strikers, because that's how we're playing.
It's like they've all gone down to the drive-thru and just hung out there for 10 days, and then yeah. I know we're at the risk of kind of starting to sound almost kind of unreasonable, but after seeing Saturday's performance, it wasn't unreasonable.
I find what we've seen unreasonable.
Yeah.
That's unreasonable. Getting beaten off Leicester's children, I find that unreasonable. I find not being able to beat Gillingham in three attempts and scoring one goal past them unreasonable.
And having probably two shots on target.
Yeah, I find...
It was two shots on target and 120 minutes of football in the cup ties.
I find it unreasonable that this manager is, I believe... And some people debated because the Oxford, yeah, we drew the game, but we lost on penalties. But the first Sunderland manager in our history to lose six consecutive away matches. We've scored.
And we've had some.
We've scored one.
We've had some sides that have lost consecutive matches before.
We've scored one goal in the league away from home since Accrington Stanley, and that was a penalty against Bolton. So the last goal he scored from open play in an away game in a league game was on the 14th of September. That's nearly 3 months. Now, I know some of that crosses over into Jack Ross. Like we went and beat Sheffield United in the week after we'd played Accrington as well. And obviously we've scored in the Oxford game. I mean, I was looking at it at the weekend, I was trying to calculate, and somebody again might point out if I'm wrong, but I just did a quick sort of off the top of the head investigation into it, and I thought it was like, what, I think we had seven goals in that team that started at the weekend of this season. So 09, I think, has three. Willis has one. McNulty, I think, had two in the league. And I can't remember who the other guy who'd scored a goal in the league was, but there were seven goals in that team that we put out at the weekend. You know, it's you always have to go, well, let's see what happens, but it's getting increasingly difficult to not get into them before they've kicked the ball, because our patience has been stretched to the point of, you know, no return. We did the poll obviously on Wise Men Say on the Twitter, and what was it, 3,120 odd people voted.
Yeah.
96% people said that, you know, that he should be sacked. I mean, I can't remember. I mean, even Simon Grayson, when he got sacked at Bolton, would be more surprising him getting sacked against Bolton than it would be if we finished this podcast and found that Phil Parkinson had been sacked. That would be more, and even though he's only had 12 games.
If he'd have been sacked at half time, that wouldn't have been a surprise. And, you know, had he come out, or like, had there been a statement come out instead of work to be done, the club Twitter come out with, actually, we've got rid of him. Mm. Second half, let's have a proper go. Bawley comes down from the director's box, takes the second half. Unprecedented scenes, I'd not be shocked.
Did people think that would be it after the result?
No.
I wanted
because they're letting him bring his own coach and stuff in and stuff.
Yeah, because they'd appointed Andrew Taylor what 4 days,
but you can't let that you can't let that dictate your decision. You've got to be more ruthless than that.
And
you can't say, oh well, we've just, you know, I don't care about Andrew Taylor, frankly. No, you're not saying it, but what I'm saying is you can't say, oh well, we've just he won't be on a fortune, will he, as a coach? So you can't say, well, we've just let him do that. Let's see how things go. He's not going to come in and then change everything around overnight. And you can't. It's the long-term future of a football club that's existed for 140 years at their lowest point with the worst team and the worst man. I mean, he's going to go down with names like the likes of Moyes. And Wilkinson.
McManamy.
Guaranteed. He's put himself in that bracket already, in my opinion.
I thought there was definite Wilkinson vibes about him. And, you know, his early interviews, even his press conference, it didn't win me over. I know we were all kind of, as a group, we were quite negative when he took the job. But,
well,
you know.
We're realistic.
with good reason.
We're realistic. It's not
unfair on him.
If realism is, you know, isn't, you know, one day the world's going to explode, you know. It's realistic, and it's not a very nice thought, but, you know, it is. So, you know, yeah, it's going to happen. So stating a fact, it does not, you know, in that podcast that got criticised and everyone's entitled their opinion, you know, it was facts that were being stated. Yeah. That is when, you know, is if he hit his career sort of points per game at Sunderland, we'd get 86 points. And that was what Jack Ross got last season, based on where we were. I mean, that things like that, the amount of goals that the team scores, you know, the highest, however, I can't remember how many it was now, but it was something like, it was only something like 70 or something, the most that one of his teams had scored in a season.
Yeah.
So things like that, it's not very nice to hear, but it is true. And there's no evidence to suggest that things are going to suddenly get better just because. I mean, I know that the main thing is people are saying we can't sack him because we haven't got any money to sack him. Well, and I stated on Twitter today, no, because when Stuart Donald went on Radio Newcastle and talked about the investment, he said, oh, no, we could put the money in if we wanted, but we've just chosen not to because the investment's a better course of, you know, better path for the football club to get the investment from these people at this stage. Well, why don't you and Juan use some of your money to get rid of, you know, clean up your mess then? Why don't you do that? Because you've got all this money that you're not using, aren't you? When he came in, it was like, oh, you know, I managed to find a spare £50 million in the bed or whatever comment it was he made. I can't remember the exact amount of money, but it was like 40, 50 million or something he japed about in this press conference, like sort of like flippantly. It's like, well, if you've got all that money, you know, there's two things you can do here. You can either, you know, all the money you've borrowed secured against a football club anyway, so you could just sack him and kick the can down the road and pay him off, you know, over time, and then if somebody else takes over, they'll inherit that. Like, as we know, people like Lee Catmull, Brian Oviedo, that's the kind of deal that they're on anyway. So we're still doing exactly what we did when we were in the Premier League before, but on a lower scale.
Exactly the same thing.
So
surely their contributions into the club, which they're going to have to make once the parachute payments stop, are going to be higher than any kind of settlement that they'd put Phil Parkinson's way. You know, I'm sure it won't be that much. In terms of settlement, he won't be on a king's ransom.
Well, it's going to be £500,000 minimum, yeah. Isn't it? Really, so but it's a lot of money.
If we're not to get out of League One this year, which is looking increasingly likely, next season when we're getting 22,000-23,000 through the gates, trying to pay for the upkeep of the stadium, which without relying on Donald and Sartori, that's going to happen. They're going to be putting money in. They're going to be putting in loads more money than they would have done had they not appointed a competent manager.
In my opinion, they're in danger of tanking the whole thing.
Yeah,
and it's a good job we've got the American investment in place, probably which is looking more and more like a rescue fund as every day passes, rather than an investment.
It feels more like kind of an insurance policy just sitting there, doesn't it? Yeah,
absolutely. And it wasn't for that; it was to kick us on. And at the moment, it looks like it's a safety net. And if they've got the money that they're saying they've got, I don't know what they're waiting for because they've made a horrendous mistake. Everybody knows it. There's no way that Stuart Donald is sitting there tonight thinking, oh, well, you know what, if he gets a few players in January, you know, like, maybe he can turn it around. If he's thinking that, he's deluded. He's lying to himself. So he needs to, you know, pull a trigger now. You've got a week to the game. Big game on the weekend. If Simon Grayson brings his team here and beats Phil Parkinson's team, it'll be significant. And I know, like, it's a narrative thing, and it's, you know, on the face, but like, you know, he was a manager at the start of that Championship season and all that, and I think some supporters will see that as a significant thing that's happened in the course of this period of the club's history. I think people will read stuff into that, rightly or wrongly. We need to, you know, exercise some demons, and like, I would have sacked him on Saturday at 6 o'clock and thought, right. I know people will go, and if you,
I don't think anyone's going to.
I'm a rational person, I'd go and get Kevin Phillips and say, you've got a deal at the end of the season. If you get us into playoffs, you know, fantastic. And what you've done, an unbelievable job. And just all we need is somebody to. All the need was motivation, and instead we've had somebody who's ripped everything to pieces, and it's like they've got carbon monoxide poison. It's absolutely ludicrous.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You look at what Duncan Ferguson did. I mean, that it was very De Canio-ish what he did on Saturday with playing 4-2-4 and sliding down the
It's one game as well.
Yeah, exactly. It's one
game. Yeah, but the Everton fans...
The difference between the same side, with a couple of changes, the difference between Marco Silva's team and Duncan Ferguson's team is night and day.
Yeah, and the Everton fans were saying it was... Because they're like us as well. You know, people start patronising when you're looking in from the outside. It's easy to comment. And they were saying, no, actually, they're just winning second balls now. And they're playing a little bit quicker. And this is what happens. It looks like... If you just parachute into this, if you've been in a coma or something and you walk up and you're watching Sunderland the weekend and you were hearing Phil Parkinson talk, and you said, right, explain where Sunderland have been of a team, you would think we've been in League One for years.
Probably League Two.
Yeah, or League Two and just been promoted.
Yeah.
Or that would be what you would think, not that you just failed to get promoted last season. And let's remember that when we did finish fifth last season, but that was because it was a car crash end to the season. That was a false position, really. Didn't really reflect our season, I thought. It was the last couple of results, wasn't it, in the last few weeks. We went from like losing two to losing five in the last month of the season. So we underachieved by finishing fifth, and God knows what you would call where we are now.
Well, it's a disaster. It's an embarrassment. You know, it's an absolute embarrassment. And like you're talking about people who didn't enjoy it. But people enjoyed it last year at the start, like, you know, for the main, people did. This year, I mean, it's apathy, you know, I've never seen before. I mean, it's almost like, you know, Kim Bjorka scores a last-minute equaliser and people, like, it's like people are happy, but they're not that bothered.
I can't remember last time I actually celebrated a goal.
You just think, like, that's what it feels like. It just feels like...
The Kim Bjorka goal, that was like, right, well, we needed that.
Yeah.
The McGeady goal against Burton, I didn't celebrate that because...
It's like the bare minimum's being, you know, we're undercutting ourselves at the bare minimum. So like when something happens that some people from the outside are looking at, oh, that's a great moment, they just don't mean anything anymore. And like you think, whatever happens now, you know, say we've got a last minute equaliser at Gillingham at the weekend, it doesn't matter because a point's not enough for Gillingham. A point at home to Coventry in this scheme of the season is not enough. We have to win so many games, and at the moment, like, it's a really interesting comment from Jamie Vardy at the weekend. I think he was talking about Claude Puel, and he said that the intensity of the training was too light. And he was saying, if you ask any player, they'll know that if you don't train with the intensity that you're going to play, you can't elevate it on the weekend. You can't get up to the level. And I'm wondering, you know, how intense is our training? You know, because it looks as though when we're going out there, there's no thrust. It's completely flat. Like and that's what's happened since Parkinson's come in. It's like people criticise Ross for the pace, but he wanted to play. You know, he wanted to dictate possession. So you can understand to an extent that maybe the pace that we played at with Parkinson, it feels as though. You know, there's no intensity and we haven't got any style or pattern of play whatsoever. you know, just...
Just a zombie club. That's what it is. It's like zombies that you don't see any kind of life or kind of... There's nothing to love at the moment. There's absolutely nothing to get behind or to celebrate.
But the manager's dragging us down to his level. That's what's happening. And apathy, it's already here, but it's just going to keep coming and coming and coming and sweeping over everything and take everything in its path, because he's going back to repeating ourselves a little bit. He's already planting the narrative now. You know, this is all they're capable of. Zero charisma whatsoever. Zero personality. He doesn't even look at the camera when he's being interviewed or the interviewer. Listening to a couple of podcasts of former players who've said that the one of his biggest things is he doesn't make eye contact with them. A former pro we've spoke to said that he wouldn't tell him make a decision over the phone. He text him after that. It's not what we need. We need somebody to take this head on. We need somebody to really rise to the challenge and puff the chest out. And he's not doing that.
You know, like,
and he needs. It can't even be after the next game. You're talking about Grayson. He needs to leave now. He needs to not be there before the next game.
Oh, definitely.
He needs to go now. It's too late already. We've already dragged our heels enough.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you could be. Tell you now, if say you had, and people there would be some people who would rightly go, "Oh, Kevin Phillips, this is absolutely stupid." On Wednesday morning, and it'd be a bit like me with Jermaine Defoe. It'd be like, "This is a completely stupid thing that we've done," but when you get to the weekend and you've got former England striker, scored the World Cup, hat full of goals, doesn't matter. Because it's Jermaine Defoe's got the top on and he's playing for your team. It'd be like that with Phillips. Because the doubters on Wednesday morning, by Saturday, they'd be smiling. And I wouldn't, and again, in to go full dar, if it was Bawley alongside him in as a Saxton type role to just get into people, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. Like, that's,
I called for Bawley to get the job when Grayson got sacked, so.
But I'm not, but it is people.
You know,
we're all guilty of it, you know. And like, at the start, in the summer, if we're making a change, I wouldn't have picked Phillips. And when we picked Parkinson, I wouldn't have picked Phillips. But now, I'd pick him. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And if people want to say, like, "Oh, you know, you're an idiot," or whatever, that's absolutely fine. Because he hasn't got a record. But he's been coaching at a high level. He's been around teams that have won. You know, he's in Derby, team were decent when he was there. Leicester, obviously. So I would absolutely say, you know, he's been around Nigel Pearson as well. You know, but you need, and it not risks of sounding again, it's like somebody who gets it or whatever. He knows what it's about. And that's what we need at the moment. We need somebody who is in. Is he going to Gillingham for a point?
You wouldn't have thought so.
And I don't know what kind of manager he is, but he's not going to Gillingham for a point, is he? And also, I would say, if Sunderland weren't in League One and Kevin Phillips wanted to start his manager career and took a job in League One.
Well, you wouldn't be that surprised.
You wouldn't be that surprised.
No.
Would you? You wouldn't be going.
Like Joey Barton going to Fleetwood.
Yeah, he'd be going, "Oh, he's starting out.
He's starting at the right kind of level.
Yeah, the right kind of level as well. So,
Someone who's actually coached for a while, who's been playing quite late into his 30s as well. So, he's been around football clubs, he's been active in football clubs. Yeah. It's not surprising to see him to move into an active managerial role.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if you take that out, if you take the emotion out of it, you know, you look at that from a logical step for somebody stepping into management, a League One, a League Two job, it wouldn't surprise you. If he took over, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a, you know, Southend or Rochdale Gillingham or something like that. You wouldn't be going, "Oh, that's a bit of a shock." You'd be going, "Right, fair play, get stuck in." You wouldn't be thinking he was out of his depth. You'd think it's somebody taking the next step in his career as a coach. So when you look at it objectively like that. But I can understand why people would have reservations.
Ian Holloway would be my choice still. Phillips has worked with Ian Holloway before. He was at Palace with him, wasn't he? Is that right? Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
When they got promoted, he scored the penalty at the Wembley, yeah. And I just think his energy and charisma is what we need. And he's somebody who, no matter what you think about him, is generally viewed as a manager who is better than League One. If he was going to get given a job, it would probably be the Championship. So he's got the pedigree, and Phillips as his number two to have that link would be my ideal choice, personally. And we don't apologise for speculating on this. Sorry, Phil. Because we apologise when we were doing it when Jack Ross was manager, because I felt like we were being disrespectful, because when we started doing this, we weren't totally convinced we were probably leaning towards him leaving. But I think, you know, we're fully there now.
I was fully there 2 games ago. I think
the Burton game did it for me.
I think he'll win either way anyway if he gets sat now.
Well, yeah, he'll get a payoff, won't he?
Get a payoff, or
and he can set
go. He can, yeah,
it doesn't look like he's enjoying it anyway.
He's got enough mates in the media who'll say, "Oh, poor old Phil." So, which is exactly what Simon Grayson did as soon as he got sat, went on the telly and told everybody it was onto a. You know,
that's what they all do, because this long-term narrative has been set, yeah. And it gives managers this free pass now. And whoever gets sacked at Sunderland, that's the opinion people have from outside us, that there's all these deep-rooted problems, despite the fact now we've got entirely new owners, entirely new players. It's nonsense.
It goes for the players nonsense. As well. The players get a bit of a free ride as well, because they think, well, how on earth is a player going to succeed in this circumstance when the fans are booing after 48 minutes, which, you know... Do you blame us?
Yeah. Do better.
Yeah.
Go and win a second ball.
Do better.
Run around a little bit.
Win the first ball.
I mean, what's 09 doing on that goal, by the way?
I'm furious about that.
What's he doing?
09's been probably our best player this season, and for some reason he decided to grab on to the arm of the goalkeeper. Who wasn't going to get... You know, it was miles away from him anyway. He would never have got there in time. And even if he would, he probably would have missed it, and Wyke would have had an open goal. So just leave him to it.
Also, I'd say, I know you mentioned the positive about the positive being Wyke coming on, but I think that's alarming when the positive is someone's come on who can hammer the ball up to and he might hold it. And fair play to him, he just hold it and does a good job with the balls he's given and the pattern of play that we want. But from a personal point of view, it's not really what I want to see. I don't want to be thinking... Oh, well, at least if, Charlie Wyke has a good game because because he's got a headache because he's had the ball hammered off his head all day, then that's a good thing and we might win a game. No, not for me. So I can't accept it. Can't accept it. Like I said, I can't accept what's going on at the moment from top to bottom. I think a lot of people are in the same boat and, it's completely unacceptable and... something needs to happen and they need to take own, you're called an owner and that means you own responsibility in the decisions.
Well, Stuart Donald and Charlie Methven have talked about being club custodians and having that responsibility and never wanting to be an owner that is hated, and it's going that way. I mean...
I think Stuart's still got cash in the bank.
Yeah, definitely, right? I don't dislike the man, but he's got, this is pivotal. This moment in time is pivotal for his ownership of the club. That make the right decision, and he could, he could be popular.
I think it's vitally important that he does this, because like you said, he does have some cash in the bank still, I think. I think people were less sad to see Charlie leave than Stuart. I think people have always preferred him of the two, and I think he's in danger of losing that all if he doesn't act now. And, if you are listening, Stuart, we put an invite out to him to come along tonight. So, if he could, knowing that he's not in the area, but we did put that out there.
What
anyway.
We've said is, we've had questions on social media about, asking, and we've said, there's probably a time and a place to have a conversation for a number of reasons. So today we did reach out to Stuart through a couple of channels to say, do you want to come on and have a chat? Like a frank discussion about the situation, because like an adult's discussion about the situation, not that he hasn't had that in the past, but it's all very well riding the crest of the wave and, being publicly present and getting the slaps on the back, but you haven't done anything yet. We haven't achieved anything yet. So we're actually in a worse position. So we need, I think that, the conversations need to be had now, and he might do it through Red and White Army. He might, I know that he's going to be involved in some of the meetings, obviously, after
he's had a meeting with them, hasn't he?
Yeah, but I think obviously they're going to have to redo the meeting that they had with Charlie.
Yeah, he's done that already.
So I know there's going to. I think there's going to be other after Charlie. Other one, yeah, there'll be other. There'll be other ones down the line. I'm assuming with Stuart, which is a positive thing because the chairman should be present at those meetings if he can be, and he maybe will answer some of the questions that people have got. I'm sure that all the questions that people have will be the same, and it might not have to be publicly broadcasted, but it would be remiss of us not to ask the question if he wants to come and have a chat, and we'll put it out.
Officer, I always knew the offer was there anyway, let's be honest. It's a wide berth, didn't he? Right, anybody else got anything to add before we go?
Thanks for coming to the live show on Friday.
Yeah, very good. We need to mention our good old partnership.
Oh, yeah, of course. Well. That's terrible, isn't it? We're really good at this sponsorship thing.
Well, no, but let's be fair. They've made it clear as well.
They're that, sold out, basically,
yeah,
for Christmas.
Yeah, you're not getting anything for Christmas. So,
from the terraces, though, the code... WMS10, I believe, will still be valid.
Yeah, come back in January. That's your January sale.
Get your order in for January, so when you go to the first game of the new year, you might have a nice new top for your Christmas box, or whatever it is, what the people call it.
Steve Nettie was saying how much you enjoyed it. I know, he liked the tops on Friday.
Yeah, he was going on about it like loads, how much he loved them. So there you go. Endorsed by former Sunderland striker Stevie Lenlett from the terraces. Head over from the terraces.co.uk and get your gear. We raised £110 as well. Everyone who came down for the Rota Report fund for the Soup Kitchen and Food Bank. I think it's up to over 16 grand now, which is amazing. So there was £110. Everyone who was there on the night chipped in for a prize, and we gave the prize away and took all the money, and that's gone in the pot, so that's a nice thing, isn't it?
Has indeed, and we'll be in the fan zone. It's inside, it's in the beacon of light on Saturday. So
somebody else want to do it?
If you...
I might go shopping or something instead.
If you look for something to do. Maybe we'll just play music and not say anything or do anything anyway.
Yeah. Shall we put some like music? Yeah, some highlights on from, the past. The brief periods where it was good, like we used to do in the Peacock. Mm. Shall we do that?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.